Well, thanks for the introduction. Before I get started, I would like to thank Dr. Joseph Magner from the University of Minnesota for giving me the summer internship opportunity for research, as well as funding provided by Section 319 of the EPA, the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, as well as Rural Advantage out of New Ulm, Minnesota. So one of the main environmental issues in the United States in present day is water quality. And water quality generally can be connected to agriculture, one being a great example of excess nitrogen in the Mississippi River. And this adds to the Gulf of Mexico's hypoxic zone, hypoxia, of course, being the condition where dissolved oxygen is below 2 milligrams per liter. And looking here, we can see that northern Iowa as well as south central Minnesota have a high amount of nitrogen deposits taking place within there due to such intensive agriculture. So more specifically, looking at my home state of Minnesota, we can see that in the Blue Earth watershed in south central Minnesota, there is a large amount of nitrogen yield being put into freshwater systems. In 2009, the NRCS did a study to find exactly where all this water was coming from, and they concluded that 37% of all of this nitrogen-rich water is coming from tile drainage, right off of the field, basically. So that leads to the idea of best management practices, and one of these being a standard saturated buffer strip. So with conventional tile drainage, you basically take water directly off of a field and put it into a main discharge pipe that will go into either a ditch or straight into a stream. So the idea behind a saturated buffer strip, knowing that riparian buffer zones can be effective means of reducing nutrient pollution, is you take that tile line and you put a control structure in there called an agro drain. And what that does is it forces that water to rise up, forces the groundwater to rise before it can flow into that discharge pipe. And when it's sitting there, you have distribution pipes running perpendicular to the control structure, underground, perforated tile lines, and it will run in that riparian buffer strip. And what the idea behind that is it allows for lateral migration of water through the soil profile, allowing for riparian plant uptake of nitrogen as well as microbial denitrification to occur. Another recently new best management practice is the idea of a wood chip bioreactor. A bioreactor being a system which supports biologic activity in either an aerobic or anaerobic environment. There's a picture right here showing kind of an example of it. So what happens there with the distribution pipes will run through there that are perforated, and it basically is meant to fuel microbes for denitrification, giving it basically an endless supply of carbon is the idea behind it. And the Iowa State Extensions did a study in Illinois, Minnesota, as well as Iowa, and they concluded that they can be 15 to 60% effective per year at removing nitrate from tile line water. So the objective of this study was to quantify the reduction of nitrate nitrogen in an agriculture setting with the use of a saturated or a hybrid saturated buffer strip. So our study location took place in south central Minnesota within the Blue Earth watershed, more specifically on a first order stream of the Blue Earth River, Elm Creek, and the land use is primarily intensive corn and soybean production. And what the people at the University of Minnesota did was they combined a wood chip bioreactor with a saturated buffer strip. So construction of this strip took place in 2014, and what they did was they took the main tile line, 61 centimeter main tile line that went directly into Elm Creek, and they placed it inside a concrete culvert. And inside that culvert, they cut slits of the main tile line to allow for water to drop down directly into it. And that was basically used to divert the flow. Looking at the picture To the right there, at the bottom of that concrete culvert, you can see a 15-centimeter perforated tile line that is used to divert the flow from the main tile line, and it will move north, paralleling Elm Creek. Elm Creek being on the left, and the saturated buffer strip being on the right. So it enters there, it allows, runs north for approximately 100 feet, and then that line is wrapped in 40 centimeters of caramelized wood chips being wood chips that are burnt to start the breakdown process of the wood chips. And from there, that's where the bioreactor comes into play. And on top of that, they then covered it with 15 centimeters of alluvial soil. So overall, this is what our aerial site layout looks like. The red arrow is indicating non-treated water, which would generally flow right into Elm Creek, and the blue arrows showing how we divert the flow and basically treat the water. So, and the yellow line showing that perforated tile line. And you can see at the end of it, there's that agro drain control structure, which will force that groundwater to rise and flow over being discharged. So sampling began right after construction in 2014. Up to date, a total of 14 samples have been collected. I personally took 6 samples in 2016 at that. And what we did was we sampled inlet and outlet observation tubes, one placed by the main tile line, another placed by the outlet of the agro drain, and we used a peristaltic pump to pump water out of the ground, and then we would take that to the University of Minnesota, use the Hawk Nitritax Clear SC nitrate probe to determine nitrate in milligrams per liter. For statistical analysis, we used SAS software. We used the general linear model. Mean separation was determined by the LS means procedure, and statistical significance was evaluated at P less than or equal to 0.1. So overall, these are all of the sampling dates taken at Elm Creek. What I really want you to look at is each date being inlet and outlet on the x-axis, and the y-axis being nitrate, nitrogen in milligrams per liter. And also, the main point of this is looking at that blue line. That blue line is the nitrate nitrogen standard set by the EPA for safe drinking water. And what we can see is, with most inlets are substantially over that. And then you compare that to the outlet, and it is lower than that 10 milligram per liter standard. Average reduction of all the dates has been 79%. With a max being 99 and a minimum of 17. And that got us thinking about the minimum took place in 2016, and we looked at that year compared to previous and didn't seem like we got the best results from previous years. And the reason behind that is because 2016 was an odd summer. It had a lot of rain. Looking at the mean discharge of the Blue Earth River, we can see that we never really sampled on base flow when previous years, that's generally what they would shoot for. They would try to sample at base flow every time they went out to sample. So 2 days really stuck out to us. June 23rd and July 27th, you can actually see June 23rd in the corner there. That is Elm Creek actually flowing into the bean field that we were sampling, the saturated buffer strip being at the tree line. So we compared high flow to low flow, and we came out and actually found out that under low flow conditions, it is, when compared to high flow, it is much more efficient at reducing nitrate nitrogen. With a p-value much less than that 0.1 that we were using. And we can contribute this to residence time. you need that water to sit there for plant uptake as well as microbes to do their job for denitrifying. So in conclusion, saturated buffer strips are an effective way of reducing nitrate nitrogen from tile-lined water. However, they are most efficient during low-flow conditions. You need that water to sit there. You can't have it flush through the system rapidly. They are up to 99% efficient at reducing nitrate nitrogen, and the research is ongoing, so we'll have a pretty cool data set at the end of this. So, thank you. We really couldn't, because they're such new systems that there really isn't that many long-term studies out there, so we really couldn't compare this with confidence to another system, I guess.
What's the life expectancy of your bioreactor?
I have read research that says it can last up to 30 years. I've heard less than that. I've heard even a decade, and it could need to be replaced. I guess it really depends on how much you break down that wood chip immediately, how much you want it to be broken down when you first put it in there.
Are you or anybody measuring the nitrous oxide emissions from these strips?
No, we have not done that yet. There were other parameters collected, but this was solely focused on nitrate nitrogen.
What kind of costs is associated with that sort of hybrid system?
It's really hard to put a cost on it when it's in research, because we get a lot of grants, we get a lot of donations. So all I can really say is, the more you need to dig up the earth, the more expensive it's going to be. So, you know, we had to dig a little bit. So the main cost with these systems is earth excavation, for sure. Any more? Well, thank you.